Revelation 12:11 tells us that we defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you for tuning in to Jesus Stories, where real people tell their burning bush moments with God. We will sit together around the burning bush campfire with anticipation of hearing the miraculous grace and unending love others have received from their one true love, Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Christy Wicks, and this is my Jesus story. My Jesus story started when I was young. I was just 7 years old when we found Jesus in my family, and it radically changed our lives. My parents were hippies, were living in the 70s, and they were living their best hippie life. And they were just doing everything that they knew to do. We called it, they were the best sinners on the block. They didn't know they were sinning. They were just living life. Well, they were at odds constantly. And my mom would have my dad go live somewhere else for a while, and he'd come back. There was times that we would go to my aunt's house, my sister and I, and we'd hang out there while they kind of worked things out. And then finally, my mom said, no more. I need you to leave the house for good. My dad was beside himself. He took a change of clothes and a book that his sister had given to him just 6 months before when she'd gotten born again. And she said, brother, you've got to read this book. Well, he didn't read it until he left and went to his friend's house just to rethink his life. He said, if this marriage goes south, it's all my fault. I don't know what to do though, because he didn't have anything to lean on. He had nothing but himself. So at this friend's house, he is reading this book and he gets to a chapter that says that you can be a new man in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away and all things are made new. And he's like, that's what I need in my life. I need all things to be new. I need my old man to be gone. And then it had a beautiful way for him to find this Jesus. And so he said, you know, a sinner's prayer and gave his life to Jesus. And he felt radically different. He's like, I know I'm changed. I'm a different man. So of course he calls my mom and says, Willene, I'm a totally different man. I'm brand new. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are new. Can I come home? And she's like, no. And so he goes, okay, well, I'll just prove that I'm a new man. Well, it was about a week or so later, he calls up and says, I would like to take our daughters to church on Sunday. And my mom said, yes, of course you can take our daughters to church. That was a new concept for us. We hadn't gone to church. I'd gone to a vacation Bible school with my cousins one time, but we were not churchgoers. We were sinners. We were doing a good job at it. So Sunday was supposed to be the day we went to church. So Saturday, my mom loaded my sister and I up in our vehicle, and we went up to a rodeo. Oh my gosh, my sister and I had a blast. We had cousins there and aunts and uncles taking care of us. And my mom went and got plastered drunk. She was so drunk. And I remember that day I got a pair of cowboy boots, so I was pretty excited. I didn't understand the weight of it, of things that were happening, that their life was separated for good and that was going to be the end of it. Well, my mom at the end of the night loaded my sister and I up in the vehicle, and we started going down these windy roads of Washington State. And she realized that she was not in a good state of mind. She was drunk. She pulled over on the side and said, hey girls, we're going to camp here overnight in the vehicle. As a 7-year-old, I thought that was an adventure. How cool is that? So we did. We stayed there. But then remember, this is Saturday night. So then my dad shows up to our house on Sunday morning. There's no vehicle there. There's no family there. And he now is worried for our safety. Where are they? And he started driving. He was on a motorcycle, this motorcycle that he loved. And he started driving to find us. Well, I guess he figured out they probably went up and knew what road we were on. He comes up and stops his motorcycle. And that's when we all woke up because we heard dad's motorcycle. And my mom wakes up to this and she's like, no, I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight. I just don't want any of it. I don't want to deal with this right now. And he came up, opened the door to the vehicle and told my mom, I love you. She looked up at his face and he was glowing in her eyes. She could physically see him glowing because he was a changed man. Why? Because he found this Jesus. Oh, it was the best thing ever. So my dad immediately showed his love by leaving his motorcycle there on the side of the road and got in the truck and drove the rest of us home. From that moment on, my mom saw that love, and immediately we plugged into a Word of Faith church where they're teaching just the truth of the word. And they loved our whole family, even though I say it this way, we looked like sinners, we talked like sinners, and we probably smelled like sinners. We didn't have church clothes. We'd never gone to church before, and we didn't know what these things were, but they loved us so much. And they were teaching us how to be, like Jesus. How is this Jesus thing happen? And it was a beautiful thing to see because at 7, you've lived a lot of life. And I knew what it was like to have Jesus in my life. And I knew what it was like to not have Jesus. And having Jesus is so much better. There was peace in our home like I'd never seen before. We had a, church family that surrounded us where we had people around us all the time before because my mom and dad were giving them free marijuana and we had keg parties every other weekend, And so, of course, you're going to have friends come around then. But when you start telling them that Jesus is the way and that you can have a changed life and they don't want to change, well, you lose all those friends. So we're so thankful to have people that surrounded us in the church, and that made a huge difference. Well, my mom and dad found out about a Bible college that was across the country. And my dad applied to this Bible college because he wanted to learn so much. He was so hungry for the Word of God. So he applied to this Bible college and flew down there on the day of orientation. And he's standing in line, and they're like, Mr. Ron Harrington, okay, we don't see your name here. Wait, let me look over here. He was in the non-accepted list. He'd only been born again for like 2 months, and here he's applying to be a minister at a Bible college. And so, in their wisdom, they said, we're not going to accept you at this point because you really need to be plugged into your church longer. Maybe find out what the books of the Bible are, some of the characters in the Bible before you try to be a minister of the Bible. That was the best advice we could ever get. So he came back to Washington State, and we again were just plugged into the church, and he dove into the ward. I would see my dad just reading his Bible, and highlighters were brand new to us, and it was just so fun to see him just pouring through the Bible and learning the truths of the word, and then sharing those with my sister and I and with my mom. And of course, we were loving the things of the gospel. My mom started to be the children's minister at our church, and it was just a beautiful thing to see the radical change that Jesus did in our life. Now, was it perfect? No. Anytime you get a human in the room, there's going to be imperfection. But it was radically different, a night and day difference. And then fast forward, we plugged into the church, we volunteered, we did all the things. All the time, my mom and dad working and doing what it took to support the family. And then it did come time for my parents to go to a Bible college. So they applied and got accepted this time. They got accepted before we moved. And so we moved to Oklahoma and went to Rhema Bible Training College. And that was so amazing. It gave my parents such a stronger foundation in the word. Again, they were hungry for the things of God. And so it was just great to come to a place where they were teaching, what does the word say? And if you go to the Bible with questions, you're going to come away with answers. And that was something that was so powerfully put into my life. Like I knew that I had a relationship with God from the time I was little. And so let me go back to a story before I start going forward to how, as an adult, I kept my relationship with God. I was about 9 years old, so I had been born again for about 2 years, and I love the outdoors. I love anything outdoors. And we had about 3 acres of land in Washington State, and I was walking through those little woods and just really talking out loud to God, going, God, thank you for this fern. How cool is that? And I just love the smell of the dirt and all these things. And I'm like, oh, this is God, you are so cool that you created all of this for us. And then the ornery side of me then saw this ant hill in Washington State, where there's a lot of pine trees. Some of the ants build their ant hills up, and so it was just a big pile of pine needles. And I grabbed a couple of pine cones and just totally blasted that ant hill. All these ants start pouring out, and I'm like, oh, how cool is that? God, you created ants to fix things. I was just enamored with who God was and that I could have a relationship with him. And so I'm walking along, and then all of a sudden, my shoulders kind of slumped, and I had this thought, and it was directly from the devil that said, well, Christy, you're not really born again. You're not really going to heaven. It stopped me in my tracks. Like, I stopped on the little dirt track I was walking on. And for a half a second, I was like, what? And then I said, uh-uh. And I started to speak in other tongues because I believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so I started speaking in other tongues, and I go, devil, if I wasn't saved, I couldn't do that. And then I started skipping down the road and left it behind me. And I love that thing that we can do with the devil. We just put him in his place because he's a liar and everything he says is a lie. And I was taught that early, that everything the devil says is a lie. So the opposite has to be true. So if he tells me I'm not saved, then I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. If he says your situation is totally wrecked and it can never be better, I know that my situation is not totally wrecked and it's going to get totally better. You're never going to have enough. Well, thank you, Mr. Devil, for reminding me that God supplies all my needs and I have more than enough. So anytime the devil tried to bring a thought to me, I could always use the reverse because I know he's a liar. So again, that was about 9 years old. And then fast forward, I was about 13 when my parents went to Bible college. And in this Bible college, we had a youth group in the church, and there were people from all over. And there happened to be this young man who came from Alabama. His parents were also attending Bible college. And so we met as 13-year-old me and 15-year-old him, and just hung out in the youth group with the same crowd of people. And that youth group was so instrumental to us knowing the word for ourselves because our parents knew the word. And I loved the Bible and I loved my relationship with God, but I learned more of how to use it, like the power of my confession, how to use my prayer time effectively, how to read the Bible and get answers. Because you can read the Bible and it's a good book, but gosh, if you want answers, you have to go in with questions. And I was just so thankful that we learned these things. Well, fast forward a little bit and we started dating, and then fast forward a little bit more, we got married, and then God told us to go to Bible college. And that was so special to me that God would say, hey, I've got a path for you. And so my husband and I both went to Bible college, and it was just beautiful to be saturated in the Word of God for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. So that's how that school ran. And at the end of that, we're like, okay, God, where do you want us to go? Because we're prepared to be ministers of the gospel. And he said, we want, you're right where I need you to be, is what he said. And so that meant plug into the local church, help where we can. And so we plugged into the youth group. We started helping in youth, and we got to do that for about 20 years of helping in the youth. We taught Sunday school. And if you want to learn the Bible, start teaching it because you dive in deeper when you have to explain that out to somebody else. One of my favorite things to explain out to sixth graders, because that was our school of the Bible, so 11 and 12-year-olds, was what is prayer? Because it seems like prayer could be so complicated. I mean, there's this big deity who created everything. And we would do this exercise that we didn't tell them we were talking about prayer. We would just get the whiteboard and start. I would say, okay, when you talk to your friends, when you're thinking about talking to your friends, where do you talk to your friends? And they would say, oh, at school and in the hallway and on the bus and at my house and in the hall. And they would just kind of like rattle out all these places that they would talk to their friends. And then I said, okay, well, what do you talk to them about? And we would write down everything they would, it was so random because sixth and seventh or sixth graders who are 11 and 12, they just don't have any filter. They just tell you everything. And so what do you talk about? And they were listing everything they talk about. Well, when do you talk to your friends? And they would list all these times that they would talk to them about. And then I would say, did you know that prayer is just talking to God? And I go, He wants to talk to you in the hallway and on the bus and in your school classroom and at your house. And what does He want to talk to you about? Everything you have listed on this board, He wants to talk to you about that and more. And then when, not only your friends are limited to when they can talk to you, but God is not limited. He's always there with you. So that was one of my favorite lessons to do. And then my husband did a great job of teaching Old Testament stories. So we would go through the Old Testament. And it's fun to get beyond Noah and David and Goliath and Adam and Eve, because everybody knows those Old Testament stories. But when you get into the nitty-gritty, and especially when you're talking to young teenagers, and you get to talk to them about a prophetess who had the evil king come into her tent, and she lulled him to sleep with some hot milk and then killed him by driving a tent stake through his head. Sixth graders think that's a pretty cool story. And so we called her the stake in the head lady. But then what I'm getting to is that Jesus has been such a close friend to me, that my life has had him in all those parts. Has it been perfect? No. Have I had hardship? Yes. But when I look at it, I'm like, Jesus, you are right there with me. Thank you for always being there with me. He was there with me, even before, gosh, before life really got crazy. He was there with me when I was 7, and he was there with me when I was 9, and he was there with me when I was 13. All these stories that I've told all the way through. And it's just powerful to know that I can call on his name at any time. And so that's wonderful. So we went to Bible college. We helped in the youth group, and then we started our own family. It's just so beautiful to be able to pass on to them Jesus as soon as they were born. I mean, they got to have that. And so I have a good friend, and she's part of this program, the Hidden Gems program, and her name is Rachel. And she just even today we were talking, she said, when your parents got born again, and then they moved the ball forward, and then you got to have your children and move the ball forward. It's just a beautiful thing to pass on that to your next generation. So there's a power in seeing what it was like without Jesus and then to see with Jesus. But my own children got to experience Jesus their whole life. And so did they always make exact right decisions? Maybe not, but that's okay because Jesus was still with them. So I love that so much. And so the things about God that I love so much is that he's never, ever leaves us. There's nothing that we can do that makes us good enough for him to hang around. And there's nothing that we can do that makes us bad enough for him to not hang around. It's just been beautiful. And so, I like to say it this way. There's a scripture in the word that says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And I'm an outside person. I love being outdoors. So that really speaks to me because I can see a deer who's, maybe they've been foraging all day and they're just so thirsty. And they come to that creek, they come to that stream, and they're just down there and they're drinking away. They're just lapping up because they're so thankful to have that fresh drink of water. And for me, in my family, my aunt gave a fresh drink of water to my dad, Jesus. And then my dad gave a fresh drink of water to my mom and my sister and I. That was Jesus. And so in our lives, when we share Jesus, We are sharing a fresh drink of water. It's not something people don't want. It's not something people don't need. It's a beautiful thing. And so, just like that deer pants for water, people around us are just hungry and thirsty for the Jesus that we have. And so, maybe your life has been extremely hard and you're like, I don't see where Jesus has been in this or can be in this. He is, because if you've ever been thirsty, he's ready there to be your fresh drink of water. And you're like, Christy, I don't have your same testimony. I wasn't raised in church all my life, and I didn't raise my kids in church all. That's all right. Jesus is a right now God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your today with Jesus can start right now. And so if you need Jesus in your life, you're listening to this, or you need to share with somebody else, maybe go get them and let's pray real quick. Because if you need Jesus in your life to have that relationship, it's so easy to do. All you have to do is ask. And so say this with me: Jesus, I accept you into my heart. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You died on that cross. You rose from the dead for me. And I thank you that now I get to have a relationship with you. Thank you for being my fresh drink of water. Oh, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, your life can radically be different from this point on. If you can get somebody else and they need that prayer, maybe you're already born again, but you can pray that with them, then their life will forever be changed. And you have just given them the best, precious drink of water they could ever have. Well, I'm Christy, and that's my Jesus story.
Thank you for tuning in to Jesus Stories. We hope you are uplifted and empowered. Tune in next week and don't forget to share with your friends and family. And please, if you have time, leave us a review.